Let's turn to the last book, the New Testament, or Old Testament, book of Malachi, the third chapter. Malachi chapter 3. And I'll never forget that first meeting. And all the meetings since, it's a special time. Malachi chapter 3, and I want to read the last three verses of chapter 3 and the first two verses of chapter 4. So beginning in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return, and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For, behold, the day cometh, that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Let us pray.
Things hadn't changed a whole lot since then either. That hymn, we're just making Jesus your friend. You know, I write articles for the newspaper, been doing it for the last 23 years, but for the first 20, they didn't print them. But I kept writing them and I kept sending them. Finally, one Saturday, they printed one of my messages. It was, Jesus is the Sinner's Friend. That was the title of it. And they didn't print it in the place where they normally print the guest sermons. They put this in big, bold print. And this, they don't edit my messages, but they did edit this title. Lucky for us, Jesus is the Sinner's Friend. The whole width of the newspaper. I still have the copy of it. I cut it out and saved it. I said, I don't care. And just spell the name right. You know, that's show where our hope is, because the message was good. And it's still good. Well, Claudia told me a story. I'm gonna start. You want to look in Exodus chapter 12. If you don't want to listen to this story, you can just start reading it. But this preacher was so punctual. He had OCD, I guess. That's what they say I have, you know. But he was very punctual. He did the same thing every time they met, the same way, the same length of time. And the women, they just learned to trust him after so long a time. And man, they'd put their food on the cook, and they knew that when he got done at 11:45, and they got home, their food was going to be done. Well, one Sunday, he went on and on and on and on. They got home, food was all burnt up. Well, they called him before the board. They wanted to know what happened. They had just learned to rely on his punctuality so much. He said, well, I can explain why. He said, on the way to church, he said, a button popped off my shirt. And he said, I got the button, and he said, I just stuck it in my pocket. And he said, the way I'm so punctual, he said, when I get ready to preach, you can guess the end of this story, but he said, when I get ready to preach, I'll put a mint in my mouth. And he said, when that mint dissolves, I quit preaching. And he said, that's the way I always so punctual. But, he said, I reached in my pocket and I got that button out. Put it in my mouth. And it just didn't dissolve. Well, I hope that's not tonight or in the morning. Here in Exodus chapter 12, I think every pastor here has preached from this passage of Scripture a number of times. I can remember the first time I preached from it in English. Preached a number of times in Spanish in years we lived in Mexico. But Joyce, you and Carter were there. It was on Easter Sunday, 23 years ago. And I preached from Exodus chapter 12, first time I'd ever preached from it in English. I love this passage of Scripture, and since then, there's just no telling how many times I've preached from this. But I want to say something to us this evening, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Let me start off by reading these first 18 verses. And I'm just reading 18 because I don't have time to read all of it. Starting Genesis chapter 1, if we had time. But here it says in chapter 12, Exodus 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. And it shall be the first month of the year to you. Now speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire. His head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you, or to you, for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations for an ordinance or by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at the evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 20th day of the month at evening. This day, you're going to observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. Now go back with me to verse 3. Verse 3 and 4 of my text this evening. And I want to say this to you. The lamb, this Passover lamb, wasn't killed just to be looked on. Just to be looked at and observed and set up as something special. It was to be eaten. And our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't crucified just so that we can hear about Him, talk about Him, think about Him, but that we may feed upon Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You have to taste Him. Everything that has to do with Christ's work is of real, practical, vital consequence to believers. He's the food for our soul. Faith is to receive Him, loves to embrace Him, hopes to rejoice in Him. It can be eaten. Second thing, it wasn't going to just eat Him part of Him. But the whole lamb was to be eaten. And the whole Christ is to be received by us. All that He is, all that He does, should be received by us with a grateful heart. All of it. Not going to be picking and choosing about the things of Christ. What we like and what we don't like. But all things alike. Accepted. I was talking to a man this week, and he was talking about the problems they're having in one of the big Baptist organizations. He said there's a lot of Calvinism, and he said they're making special emphasis, he said, you know, on tulip. And he started out, he said, total depravity, and I wasn't going to help him a bit. And he said, and then that limited atonement. I said, yeah, that chokes them, doesn't it? That's the only thing negative I said. I said, one thing about it, we know it's not limited in its power. He saves everyone that comes to Him. Everyone that looks to Him. Everyone that believes on Him. That sort of ended our conversation, which I was glad. Because I didn't want to make a big donkey out of myself. But I was getting real close. We don't pick and choose what we like. We don't take part of it and leave off what doesn't sit well with us. All of it. All of it. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And we need every bit of that Savior. And this Passover lamb was able to save that whole house. That whole house. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Him is all the power to save. He's able to save to the uttermost. All that come unto God by Him. That power is sufficient to save those that are at the very ends of the earth to the uttermost. The lowest, the most outcast. And I know it for a fact because He saved the worst among us when He saved me. The fourth thing I want to lay down for you is this whole lamb was meant to be eaten at all at one time. None of it would be kept till the morning. If any were kept, it would be burned with fire. They're going to make a god out of it. Like the manna, it's not going to be stored up for future use. I tell you what a joy would be ours to rejoice in Christ now, to rejoice in all that He is now, and not just think, well, one day in glory. No, right now. Like you said, can it get any better than this? to join ourselves together like this and worship the Lord of glory. You know, we don't need to concern ourselves about what may take place, you know, next year, 1,000 years from now. You know, I thought about that. Who preached on Revelation this morning? David. I thought about it and read, you know, 10,000 times 10,000. Can you imagine that sound? I said 10,000 times 10,000. I think that's a billion. Can you imagine that as one voice? I was just thinking about our singing in here last night. Just the voices. We're not anywhere close to that. But can you imagine 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands singing that song, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Well, we can do it now, can't we? So that lamb's eaten. The whole thing's eaten. It's going to be all eaten then and there. All going to be used right now. So, this text shows us a great privilege we have. Oh, and I love this. The first thing he says is they're going to take to him every man a lamb. Every person. Every person. It starts right here with us. With each one of us. Each one of us. A lamb. Every person. Do you have to do with Christ personally? Do you have a lamb? Some of you know I go as a volunteer out to the federal prison system and preach every week. I go in about 5 times a week preaching to these men. Well, there was a time when I would go in and just, they wanted to visit with somebody. A lot of them don't have visitors. They want to visit somebody. They'd set me up to visit with them. And I visited with this Jew for a couple of years. Every time we finished talking, I said, "Where's your lamb? Where's your lamb?" And his response every time was, "Maybe next year in Jerusalem." And, "Where's your lamb?" "Don't wait till next year. The next hour, right now, right now." Every man, you come to him personally. It's personal repentance, personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's personal feeding upon him. You know, you can't talk to anybody else about it until, first of all, you've tried it out. You can't tell me what it's like if you don't know. I've told this story so many times, but it fits again. How many of you have never seen me before, never heard me preach? I mean, y'all haven't heard this story, so it's for y'all. One year, when I was in Mexico, I made a trip and got over on the coast of Campeche. Up on the Bay of Campeche, there's a little fishing village, Champotón. And I like seafood. So I pulled in this little place there, and I ordered a meal, and I ordered a shrimp cocktail. I don't recommend you to do this, but I did it. Well, they don't have, you know, cocktail sauce, horseradish, things like that. So they just had some hot sauce on there. I said, "I'll make my own." So they had this one sitting there, and I wasn't sure what it was. You know, I tried smelling of it, and it smelled hot. But anyway, I asked, "Wait," I said, "is this hot?" He said, "No." "No pica." Well, so I just took my I put a little of this, a little of that, and then I stirred it up. You talk about hot. Hot. I called him back over. And I said, "You said this wasn't hot." He said, "No, it's not hot." I said, "Taste it." He put his finger in it. "It's hot." You see, you don't know till you tasted it yourself. You can't talk about it if you hadn't tasted it yourself. You can't tell me about it if you hadn't tasted it yourself. You don't know. I can't tell you about it if I haven't tasted it myself. You can't talk to your neighbor. I have to ask myself this question. Is the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of my house? Have I fed on this Lamb? And then when I've answered this question for myself, I hope that you'll answer it for yourself. Not talking about your parents, who your parents are, I don't care. Talking about what church you go to, I don't care. Not about what church you're a member of, or your famous kinfolks, I really don't care. I'm talking about you. You. Have you tasted? If you tasted, you know that the Lord's good. I tell you, the old people, old professors, you've been around a long time. You've been in this game a long time. Been in church all your life. Somebody asked me about, you know, these inmates that I preach to. And the results, I said, look, they're convicts. Emphasis on the con. They're just like Baptists. In these churches, they're con. They're con. They'll make you think anything. They'll talk a good game. Ask me in glory. I don't know how to judge. But you know, deception, we can be deceived for years and years and years and years. We can be deceived all our lives. It's not a set it and forget it thing. Not one and done, no. Am I looking to Christ right this minute? Not what I did yesterday. This ordinance, it continued every year, year after year after year, to remind them this is your only hope. This is your only hope. You know why we come back here? Time after time. You showed me that little bit that I had written. That's all preachers are, just remembrancers. Reminders. We just remind what, so we won't forget it. They were reminded year after year after year. This is our only hope. You know, it's an unspeakable mercy that the Lamb of God has provided for our Passover, for the worst of us. Because the gospel is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But he said, in thy house. In thy house. Did you see the second part of what he said here? A lamb? You know, every man. Every man. But then he said, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. The next part of this privilege is a savior for our families, our household. I tell you, may we all share in the blessings which this lamb brought. And what a blessing it is when all of our children, our household, equally rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we can't convert our children. You know, we beat into them a lot of things, just like we had beaten into us a lot of things. We can't convert them beyond our power. It's the divine work, the work of God's Spirit. But we have that anxious exhortation, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. He can't get away from it. It'll never leave him. It'll never leave him. What a blessing to see our whole house beneath that blood. And then there's something else about this passage of Scripture here. There's not a chance that this lamb is going to be too small for the house. Did you know that? He said, speak unto the whole congregation, saying, in the 10th month, you're going to take every man a lamb, according to the house of the father, the lamb for the house. And then the next thing, it says, if the household be too small for the lamb. You know, if the household is not large enough to eat that lamb, share it with the neighbor. But it says, doesn't tell us what's to be done if the lamb wasn't large enough to feed the household. It's just not going to happen. It starts off with the selection that's made. It's going to be sufficient when the Lord God of heaven chose that lamb. It's big enough for the house. It's big enough to feed the whole household. You know, there's a lot of things we're not told in the Scriptures, but we ought to just learn from the silence of the Scriptures. We ought to believe what the Scriptures say and not question what the Scriptures don't say. You know, we talk about Melchizedek. His parentage isn't mentioned. And the silence is significant. You know, he was without father, without mother, without descent, had neither beginning of days nor end of life, and we're not told anything else. Why question it? Believe what it says. So here, this silence concerning about such a possibility of the insufficiency of this Passover lamb for the household is meant to teach us something very important here. Oh, and I hope that we don't ever forget it. Never forget it. Don't forget about that lamb. You know, if we could just learn this and preach this to everybody that we come in contact with. You know, the Lamb of God is always sufficient to save. The Lamb of God is always sufficient to save. You know, it just can never happen that there shouldn't be enough of the Lord Jesus Christ for our family. If any perish in their sin, it's not because Christ isn't sufficient. It's not because the Lord Jesus Christ is not able to save. There's enough lamb for all that are in the household. All that are in His household. There's enough. Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And take notice of that word, all. A-L-L. All. Write it down. Underline it. Highlight it. Whatever you need to do, don't forget it. Because there's enough lamb for all that are hungry. Are you hungry? There's enough lamb. Are you thirsty? There's enough. All. There's nothing in this Scriptures that should stop us from praying for all. A-L-L, all. All the world. All our friends. All our children. I tell you, you know, Paul told Timothy, he said, I exhort you, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All ranks of men, all conditions of men, all sorts of men. And don't ever give up hope on anybody as long as they're still breathing. They're still drawing breath, don't give up on them. Don't quit. You know, if the Lord saved me, I take from that He can save anybody. For I feel that He went just about as far down as He'd ever go when He reached down His hand for me. Our Lord told him, the master of the house said, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind. And Matthew said, so those servants, they went out into the highways and they gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. Both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. Don't be satisfied with the fact that you've eaten. You know, our households alone are much too little for the lamb. Go share it with your neighbors. You say, well, they already go to church. We did too. Didn't we? We did too before the Lord spoke to us. We went to church years before we ever heard the gospel. And you may have heard it in a place where you didn't start out going, but you heard it. Speak to them. You know, you can't ram it down their throat. You just tell them. Don't talk about our great church. They don't talk about it at Kitchens Creek Baptist Church. They don't talk about their sweet little preacher. Because he ain't sweet. He ain't little. He ain't much of a preacher. You know, you can't talk. They're going to argue with you. Everybody's going to one-up you, you know. Just tell them what great things the Lord's done for you. How He's had mercy on you. They can't argue with that. They can't argue with that. Tell them. And I tell you, only Christ's sheep hear His voice. Preach the gospel. His sheep hear His voice. And they follow Him. We don't try to divide them out. Divide them up. Man, what we do, we burn all the wheat and sack up the chaff, make us through the winter. We don't know. We can't tell the difference in it. We call good bad and bad good. The gospel does the same. We just preach the gospel. Oh, and you know why we have such sweet fellowship here? Because we all feeding on the same lamb. Your lamb not even better than my lamb, because we're all feeding on the same lamb. This household's all eating the same lamb. Don't have to bring in two lambs for that household. Just one's enough. One's enough. Let me say this. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes in all of His glory and all His redeemed ones are come with Him, when He gathers all that have been redeemed with His precious blood to this marriage supper of the Lamb, it's not going to be said that that household is too little for the Lamb either. It's going to be perfect. The Lord Jesus Christ will then see the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. It's going to be just right, isn't it? Just right. Until then, what do? We just keep beating the bushes. We just keep going into the highways and into hedges. And we just call them to come. Because the Lamb's sufficient for the household. And I pray that this will be the beginning of months for all of us. May the Lord bless these thoughts to our hearts. Thank you, Brother Donnie.